Welcome to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Purzell. This summer, another major motion picture will be filming in the Queen City. What does our community have that Hollywood likes so much? You'll find out from the Greater Cincinnati Film Commission and hear from a producer for the movie Miles Ahead, shooting here this summer with Don Cheadle making his directorial debut. That's coming up later on Cincinnati Edition. But first, a local illustrator publishes his first picture book for children. Adam F. Watkins is an Ohio native who lives in Adams County and is joining me in the studio to talk about his book, R is for Robot, A Noisy Alphabet. Adam, welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask, the official street date for this book was actually yesterday.
Yes.
R is for Robots is in bookstores now. This morning you were at Joseph Beth Booksellers and Rookwood Pavilion for a launch event. How did that go this morning?
There was a very nice turnout. A lot of kids, moms, babysitters. And it was the first time, with this being such a new book, as you mentioned, early release, first time I could read it in front of a group of kids. So with the way that the book is more of a concept book, not much of a storyline, it's just noises, I was curious to see how it would read to a live audience, to kids. And what was really neat to find out was they would repeat or echo all the noises as I would read. So it was very interactive, and it seemed to go almost better than it would just a regular book with a storyline. It was fun. They had a good time, you know, listening to the story.
Well, and I had that question about this book. I didn't have a chance to read it to any young children, but I had wondered how the concept would work, because this is a book that uses robots, number one. I mean, you do see the letters of the alphabet throughout, mm-hmm. and it has robots, but it's, as you say, it's not a storyline. It's a lot of, shall we say, sound effects that go with,
yeah.
We're learning the alphabet here.
Yeah, when we were... And when I say me, I mean me and my team at the Penguin, the publishing group. When we were kind of going over the concepts for this, trying to hammer it all out, like I wanted somewhat of a narrative to the story. So, you know, as you go through the book, you'll see that it's kind of a progression of the robots building or, you know, doing construction and working, because, you know, you have bulldozers and pulleys and jacks and things like that with... just because they lend themselves to robots, you know, so easily. And then at the end, you have the big grand finale spread of the big tower of all the letters, and then all the robots kind of standing around celebrating. So there is a little bit of a narrative to the book. But with it being an alphabet book, you're very limited on, you know, how much you can get into the narrative. But I did want there to be some kind of a, you know, beginning and end type, like a goal or an achievement at the end of the book.
Well, I love how it goes from auga to zap through the alphabet. Did you have fun trying to figure out what you wanted to represent each of the letters?
Yeah, that was pretty fun, and there were for the most part they were pretty easy, but there were a few that are that they were a little bit challenging. Like X, I'm gonna kind of let the cat out of it, like X is actually explode, and it starts with an E. It's just there's not a lot of words that start with X, I mean, or at least sounds or noises especially. So yeah, but that was fun coming up with all the different words. And like one of my favorites would have to be M.
Mine too. And we won't spoil.
Okay,
But yeah, M's a good one too. And O with ooze was fun as well. Adam F. Watkins is author and illustrator of the new book, R is for Robot, A Noisy Alphabet, available where books are sold. It is in stores just starting yesterday, and he had a launch event this morning at Joe Beth in the Rookwood Pavilion. And if you're interested in asking Adam a question or would like to pass along a comment about children's books, you can call us at 513-419-7100, email talk@wvxu.org, or post on Facebook or Twitter. And I wanted to ask how you got into children's books. I know you do have two young children of your own, but you have a career as an illustrator. Why kids literature?
That's a great question. When I went to school in the at the Columbus College of Art and Design, right up the road here in Columbus. And I was there for 4 years. And Chris Payne, C.F. Payne, another local illustrator here out of the Cincinnati area.
He taught
up there. He still does, actually. But he was my professor up there for the last 2 years, my junior and senior year of college up there. And he was real into editorial illustration. He did Time magazine covers and things like that. So editorial was kind of the line, or that was kind of the direction I thought I was going to go towards, just because it influenced by him. And then he would bring in, you know, he was buddies with all these big national, you know, editorial illustrators that worked on all these big publications and had these really cool jobs, you know, and careers. And then Lauren Long, like when I graduated college, I lived in Waynesville for a short time, and Lauren Long lived in the Westchester area, I think, then, and he's another local illustrator, and he was just doing a book for Madonna, a children's book, the Mr. Peabody's Apples, I think it was at the time, in 2004, and I went down there and talked to him, and spent a little bit of time with him in his studio, and I was able to get an insight of, like, the everyday work. Like, he just worked at his, you know, out of his home, at his own studio, and
you said that job's not too bad.
Yeah, I thought, and it's a great platform for an illustrator, because instead of just doing a magazine cover here and there, like editorial, like I would if I went down the editorial road, you've got these books that are filled, like 32 pages, and every page has an illustration on it that you did, and the cover, the front cover, the back cover, you got all the jacket art and spot illustrations throughout. So, like, one project encompasses, you know, multiple illustrations. So I really like that about it. Like the body of work that you can acquire in this career is, I mean, you have a lot of pieces of paper laying around your studio, but that's a good problem to have, I think. Like, that's what I like about it.
Adam Watkins, author of R is for Robot, a noisy alphabet, and this is a children's book, and we have an email here. It says, it sounds like a book that would fire kids up making these noises and enjoying the robots. Probably not something you want to read right before bed, or what can you tell us, Adam?
We just read these books, or this book, to our kids last night, my wife and I, and I have a 3.5-year-old son, and right before bed, we were reading this book to them for the first time, and my son got a little rambunctious, and he was jumping up and down on his bed, and he's 3.5, and he was shouting the sounds out and everything. My daughter, who's 7, she enjoyed the book, but she wasn't quite as into it physically as he was. So, yes. Yeah, you might want to save it for, like, a middle of the day book or something like that. Maybe not the best book to read right before they go to sleep.
Well, I wanted to ask, for what age do you think R is for Robot? I mean, did you have an age range in mind when you're putting this together? And how much, as an author and illustrator of children's books, do you have to focus and think about that and make sure you have that front of your mind?
Yeah. To answer your first question, the age range, of course, it's an alphabet book, so it's going to be limited right off the bat, like 3 to 5, so, you know, I think. And but with this book, you know, I had the adult mind, like the mom or the dad. So there's, you know, it's not just all cutesy fuzzy things that, you know, the kids are gonna ooh and all over, but like there's things in there for the adults and even the older sibling that happens to be, you know, reluctantly sitting there
having to listen
to a book about ABCs, and they've known their ABCs for like 6 months. So, you know, why do I need to know this? But so it 3 to 5, but it's kind of entertaining for a bigger age range, I think.
Well, I mean, the fact that it is, you know, mainly sight-based, the illustrations, you know, bright, colorful, mm-hmm. all these different robots that you came up with, working on all these different letters, all the different noises that go along with the robots. But it still leaves a wide range for a parent or an older sibling to fill in their own narrative, too.
Yeah. And Yeah, they do also do that while they're reading, and because, like I mentioned before, there is a loose narrative in there, and so it gives them a direction, you know, to kind of take it themselves, but it's not a very specific direction, you know, so they can, it kind of gets them moving, and then the narrative, as far as that goes, they can, you know, kind of take it where they want to from there, and there's also on the every page there are little objects that I kind of hid throughout the story to make it so it's a book that you can go back to. It's not just a one-time thing, you know, A, B, C, D, all the way through Z, but there are little details and things that you can, that the kids can kind of explore and look at and find and, you know, be surprised or, you know, think that was cool. So there is that aspect of the book, too.
Well, I wanted to ask, you graduated, as you said, from the Columbus College of Art and Design. Number one, why did you decide to go there? What did you do when you got out of school?
I decided to go there. Okay, when I was a senior in high school, my dad and I did look at some other colleges. We flew to Atlanta. We were looking at the Savannah Art Institute and, mm-hmm. and some things like that. And then, to be honest with you, we weren't even really aware at the time that there was a school in Columbus. And then once we started to look into it more, we found out that it wasn't just a school. It was a highly, you know, it's a very reputable art school. And so I thought, well, it's far enough away from home where I feel like I'm kind of leaving the nest, which is kind of what you're supposed to do at that age. But it was close enough, I could come back on the weekends or whatever, just drive back. So we went and checked that out, and I ended up getting a scholarship, and that kind of sealed the deal. So, you know, once Dad knew that I was getting some of it paid for at least, we kind of decided on that one. And it turned out to be a great idea, a great move. And then after school, it's kind of a funny story. My freshman year, like the first weekend that we were there, our RA, resident advisor, he pulled us all out into the courthouse there, the dormitory. And, you know, you think art school, like this is going to be cake. Like all I got to do is color pictures, you know, for 4 years and then whatever.
Sure.
So he pulls us out into the courtyard and he has a Time magazine, and he flips through to this article in the middle, and it was about the top 50 or 10 or whatever toughest college programs for incoming freshmen, and the Columbus College of Art and Design is, if I remember correctly, the story, yeah, it's been told so many times by so many of us, but Columbus College of Art and Design was number 2, right behind Harvard for incoming freshmen as far as workload. What was the criteria for this? So it was really tough. And all 4 years, it was a battle. You know, just a lot of work. And when I graduated, I kind of wanted a little bit of a break.
A vacation.
To be honest. So I got some, you know, and you can't, it's not like an engineering degree where you can graduate from school and go right into a job. And, you know, it takes time to kind of build a career. So To make money after you graduate, because you still have loans to pay back and stuff, I paid my dues and did the construction jobs and things like that. But then I kind of moved along and got I actually worked down here in downtown Cincinnati at an advertising agency for a while. I don't think they're no longer in business, but it was called Wonder Group or whatever. And that was a good experience. I met a lot of nice people there and learned a lot about the production side of art, you know, so it was very valuable, and a lot of things I learned there still help me today with what I'm doing now.
Adam F. Watkins, he is the author and illustrator of the new book, R is for Robot, A Noisy Alphabet. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. It's available where books are sold. And it's all about robots. I'll ask about the robots in a minute, Adam, but I wanted to ask about your passion for pictures, as you say in your bio, that you say you have always had a passion for making pictures. Where did that passion come from?
It goes as far back as I can remember. I was... I want to say six-ish around that age. And, you know, I've always drawn ever since I can remember. I always got in trouble all through school for drawing.
For drawing.
I mean, just, you know, I drew my teachers nuts. And I always wanted to be an animator. Because that's what, you know, as a kid, I wasn't exposed to a lot of, I mean, that, like, I watched Disney cartoons, you know, mm-hmm. and that was my idea of what you did as a professional artist. So I always wanted to be an animator, and I would draw Ninja Turtles. You know, they're popular now, which is kind of weird. My 3.5-year-old son is, like, all into Ninja Turtles, and I'm like, they were cool.
Well, like 30 years later,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So I used to draw Ninja Turtles all the time. I used to draw, you know, Indians and cowboys and all, you know, that kind of boy stuff all through school. And I've just always liked making pictures. And I would draw these things in school, and my friends would be interested. They would, you know, it kind of made, like, that's kind of almost what defined me in a way in school is, you know, they I would get requests, you know, like, hey, will you draw a helicopter and flying over a jungle? And, you know, they would all gather, and it was kind of the cool thing to, I enjoyed that. So,
and robots too. Something that did robots go back that far as well?
I'm pretty sure. And somewhere there was a box in my mom's house or dad's house or somewhere. I'm sure there's a lot of drawings from school. But yeah, robots have been a staple in my drawing library for many years. So it's kind of cool to see it, you know, blossom into this now.
Yeah, we have a question here. It says that the robots you create are not really your standard Robbie robot. Each has parts, you know, that are different and interesting. Has that been a trademark of your robot illustrations?
You know, it's funny. If somebody else looks at my robot illustrations, if they look at 3 or 4 different ones, they might think, that, like, I've heard that they look similar. Like, you know, they can tell that I drew, you know, all the, not just this book. Obviously, I kept the robots in this book to kind of mirror each other, so you got, like, this family. But just in general, like, you know, because we keep sketchbooks all the time, so I'm sketching whatever. And when I sketch robots, people can see that 2 different robots that I sketch, they can tell that I did both of them. But I can't. So, like, I don't know. It's just kind of weird. But these, I definitely wanted to kind of keep them so they kind of look like they were related, or, you know, they were a family, or made by the same scientist or, you know, engineer or whatever. You know, they all came from the same place, or they lived in the same place.
I mentioned, well, you mentioned Lorne Long, C.F. Payne, and by the way, some of Payne's work is right here on the outside of our building, a big artworks mural.
Oh, yeah,
that's
the
on
mural.
The side.
Yeah, yeah, I remember when he did that.
Yeah, so we have a big representation of C.F.
Nice.
Payne's illustration on our building. But there's Will Hillenbrand, mm-hmm. who mentioned, I think you said, came to Rookwood today. And,
yes.
And Lorne Long. Quite a crowd here. What of people doing children's literature here in the Cincinnati, southwestern Ohio area. How does it feel to be a newbie when you have a lot of these very successful people nearby?
It's surreal almost. I mean, sometimes, you know, because I've been, you know, like I've said, since college, you know, because I learned under Chris Payne. He's one of my professors. And so I knew all these guys and a lot more, you know, all through school. And when you're a college kid and you're wanting to get to a point to where you're publishing books, or, you know, you're getting your illustrations published on the cover of Time magazine or whatever it is, you just don't think that, you know, you really want it to happen, but it just almost doesn't seem like a real thing, you know? You're just like, well, maybe one day or whatever. And, but to be here, like now, you know, on the radio talking about my first book, it's pretty incredible. It's amazing. And, I owe it to a lot of people. There's a lot of moving parts involved, with this whole process. It's not just me by any means. In fact, I'm probably just a very small part of why I'm here. Talking about the local talent, it's kind of funny. I was a few months ago, when I was working on this book, I was on the phone with my art director from Penguin up in New York. And, you know, Penguin's they're in, like, Manhattan, I think, or old Manhattan. I've been in New York a few times. I'm not real familiar with, but they're way up there. And he said, it's funny because you would think that a lot of the talent that we would pull would be from right here, New York or Chicago or Los Angeles. He said, there are more artists that we use, freelance or in-house artists or whatever, that are from Southern, like Ohio and Southern Ohio, you know? And he was like, I don't know what it is. Now it must be something in the water down there, but there's a lot of talented, really talented people right here in Cincinnati. It's great. I feel honored to be hopefully kind of a part of that group, you know?
Well, Scott emailed and asked, did you base any of your robots on people that you know? And do you plan to take these robots and put them into future storybooks?
No, not.
Are you sure? Now, I see you're thinking about it, Adam. Was there somebody you were thinking about when you drew some of these robots?
Well, okay. There's a robot that repeats a few times in the book, and he's kind of a shop vac robot. So he's got like a shop vac body and a vacuum for an arm. And he another kind of a narrative throughout the book is he's always kind of picking up after these other robots like make a mess or whatever. He's picking it up and he doesn't look very happy about it. Loosely, very loosely. That might kind of be based on my wife, just because she's very clean. She likes a clean house, and with me and the two kids, she's not looking too happy picking up after us all the time. So that was kind of an ode to her and kind of an apology. Hopefully it came across that way that I made her a robot. But
we only have a moment or a couple of minutes left, but I wanted to ask, I was reading your bio on your website or whatever, and you were talking about some of the awards. 2012 Tony Award for Deadliest Ninja Chop. Tell me about that.
Well, I ran out of awards. I realized when I was writing my bio, I was like, man, I don't have like this long list of these awesome accolades and awards that I've won. So I thought I'd just go ahead and, you know, make some up and throw some in there. And, you know, when you're a children's book author, illustrator, and you're making your website, you hope kids go to your website. And I wanted to throw some things in there that I think kids would
be impressed by. Yeah, Deadliest Ninja Chop, well, I think, would be one of those.
Yeah, either be very impressive or funny. You know, like, they would get it. And it was kind of as far out there as I can make it, you know, so they wouldn't know it was real, hopefully. I mean, I don't know if I made it obvious.
I believed
enough.
It. No. Did you? A Tony Award, too. I like that. Well, I wanted to ask. So R is for robot. Here is you're launching your new book. What your plans for the future? Do you have other books that are in the pipeline right now? I mean, it sounds like you're an illustrator who doesn't stop drawing. So I imagine you get a lot of things in those sketchbooks.
Yes. I'm in the very early stages of another robot book. It's different, and it's got a main character. It's got a storyline. It's not a concept book like an ABC book or whatever, a 1-2-3 book. And the robot, there's a main character, and it kind of follows him around. And I don't want to say too much, but very, very early stages. And if anybody's interested on the progress of that, you know, I have a Facebook, and you can look me up on Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff, you know, and you can kind of follow the progress of that and keep track of, you know, what I got going on.
Well, I do want to ask before we go, I mean, that does, you mentioned Facebook and Twitter, and I wanted to ask, you know, the state of kids' literature and kids' books in this day and age where there are so many screens intruding on kids' life. But what is your? I talked to William Joyce. He goes, I will always love books because you can drop them and they won't break, right, and you don't have to. They'll never run out of batteries. What is your take on kids' books?
I feel like there's an inherent kind of draw for some reason, humans to books, like actual paper bound books. I can't explain it, but people that love books know exactly what I'm talking about. There's like a, you can't, I mean, there's convenience, conveniences to these e-books and things like that, and I'm not knocking them because I think there's room. I think there's room for them, but I don't think that it's possible to ever like completely eliminate like physical paper bound books, you know. And I think it's just another format, and you know, no matter what format they're in, they're always going to need somebody to write the words and somebody to draw the pictures. I think actual books are they're not going to go anywhere, I don't think.
Well, great book for the kids. Thank you very much for being here today.
Well, thank you. My pleasure.
Adam F. Watkins, he is author and illustrator of his new book, R is for Robot, A Noisy Alphabet. You can find it where books are sold and find a link with more information at wvxu.org. More information about both Adam and about the book. Miles Ahead, a film about jazz trumpet legend Miles Davis, will be shooting here in Cincinnati this summer. What attracts movie makers to Cincinnati? You'll learn in a conversation with Kristen Irwin Schlottman from the Greater Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky Film Commission and movie producer Lenore Zerman, straight ahead on Cincinnati Edition here on 91.7 WVXU.